Let's take our Bibles today and we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing through the book of Ephesians. I've had a few different people as we've gone through Ephesians tell me that they're really looking forward to different parts of Ephesians and wondering when we're ever going to get to them. I will say that when I planned out the preaching series through Ephesians, I planned to preach Ephesians in 19 sermons. And today is the 38th, so it's exactly double. But that's because it has just seemed appropriate to take some time on this particular book for us to just slow down and to soak it in. That's not always how I preach. You may remember that as we were going through the book of Acts, in particular, I remember I preached through the entire chapter of Acts 7 in one Sunday, which is, I think, the longest chapter in Acts. And so we don't have to go this slow through every part of the Bible, and we won't always. But I think that there's just times where it's appropriate to slow down and soak it in, and God has led us to one of those times right now. We are looking in particular at Ephesians 5, verse 20 today. And let's read together those verses if you need to follow along with us. There are pew Bibles, and these black Bibles, it's on page 978, and you're also welcome to take one of those Bibles as our gift to you if you don't have a Bible for yourself. I'm going to start in verse 18. It says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Where we are right now in Ephesians is we are in the portion of the book that talks about the outworking of God's work in our lives, that He has already made us who we are in Christ, and now we are called to be who we already are in Christ and to live that out. And as we live that out, we are to walk by the Spirit, and we are to walk in newness of life and recognize that we have been given new selves, that we are new in Christ, and so because of that, to walk in the new self and not in the old self, to put away those old practices and to take up the identity of Jesus Christ in who we are and how we behave and the way that we walk. And as we come to this passage in particular, there's a command that this is playing off of: be filled with the Spirit. And as we mentioned last week, be filled with the Spirit refers back to some other things that are in the book, and in particular to a prayer that's in chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, where we're told that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this prayer is for us to increase in our faith in Jesus Christ, in believing in Christ and His love, and to increase in our understanding, our comprehension of the love of Jesus, the breadth and height and length and depth of the love of Jesus, and to increase in our knowledge, our personal, intimate knowledge of the love of Jesus, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So as the Holy Spirit is at work, supernaturally working by His power in us, He is filling us up, as it says in chapter 4, to the fullness of the maturity of manhood in Jesus Christ, that we are growing up in our faith. And as we are growing up in our faith, His prayer for us here and our prayer for each other could be that we would grow in our knowledge, our intimate knowledge, and our faith, and our comprehension of the love of Jesus Christ. And as we're growing, that we are being filled by the Holy Spirit. And we see, even in this verse, that this is something that's to be going on always. Not just a here and there, but we're called to be always being filled with the Spirit and always giving thanks as a result of that. And these are results that we see here. Last week, we talked in particular about the result of being filled with the Spirit, which is singing. That as we grow in Christ and grow in our adoration of God, our being enchanted with God and His glory and being enamored with who He is, we sing because of that. We sing praise to Him. And today, the next thing that it says that happens as we are filled with the Spirit is that we give thanks. This is the natural overflow in the heart of a person who loves Christ and is growing in Christ and is being filled up by the power of the Spirit and filled with all the fullness of God, is to give thanks. There was a headline that I ran across yesterday, kind of a sad headline, and it may affect some of you. It says, A&P notifies 3,781 New Jersey workers of layoffs effective Thanksgiving Day. Now that's hard. We probably all have heard that A&P is closing down, and we knew that this kind of thing was coming for those workers. But it really struck me yesterday, it's Thanksgiving Day is the day that those jobs end. Now, hopefully, with the time that's between here and now, we would hope that all of those workers would be able to find other employment between now and then. That's what we hope for and pray for. But for those who maybe are not able to, they're going to be told two things on one day. The one thing on the one hand is, you have no job. And the other thing on the other hand is, it is Thanksgiving. Give thanks today. How do you do that? I would expect that for somebody who is not born again and new in Jesus Christ, that would be very difficult, maybe impossible, to say, I'm going to give thanks on the very day that I'm told, you're out of here, no more paycheck. But for those of us who are in Christ, for those who are new in Jesus and understand what Christ has done for us, giving thanks is not just possible, but normal in the Christian life, even on days like that. See, when we understand the gospel, when we come to believe the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, what we understand is that we can't earn or deserve anything, and that everything that we have has been given to us by God, and God has given us everything in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing for all eternity. It's already ours. The world's way of thinking and just the system of the flesh that we are born into by nature as children of wrath, separated from God, is a system that kind of goes back and forth and has a mixture of discontentment and entitlement. And when we come to Christ, that gets replaced by contentment, satisfaction in God. And not a sense of entitlement, but a sense of thankfulness to God for all things. And that's why we find these passages that are all over Scripture that connect being in Christ and knowing Jesus to thankfulness. So, for example, even earlier in this chapter, we were warned against engaging in immorality and engaging in impurity and covetousness and filthy language and crude joking. The alternative to those things was thanksgiving, thankfulness. And we also see in Psalm 97 that this giving of thanks is one of the just normal traits of someone who is counted as righteous before God. And then on the other hand, ungratefulness, according to Jesus, out of the words of His mouth in Luke 6:35, ungratefulness is a mark of being one of God's enemies. And 2 Timothy 3 even warns us that those who are ungrateful are showing themselves to be, quote, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. So you see these various places that this is connected, where we see if we are in Christ, if we are truly counted as righteous in Jesus, then we will be thankful to God. And I think we see here, as we're growing in Christ, and as we are growing in the fullness of Christ and being filled by the Spirit, that we will grow in thankfulness. And that this thankfulness is of a sort that can be done at all times, for all things, to the Father, in the name of the Son. Now, I am told that our church has a growing reputation as a people who love what are called the doctrines of grace. And it's an amazing thing to just celebrate God and who He is in His sovereignty. God is a sovereign God. He is in charge of all things. And not only is He sovereign, in charge of all things, controlling all things by His mysterious means, He is also a gracious God. And that's what those teachings are about. And that's what we love and want to celebrate, is that God is God, and He is above all. And at the same time, He has looked upon us in our helpless state. There's a hymn that says, nothing good have I that I may claim thy grace. And it's the case. This is what we see, is that it's not us. It is God's work in us. And if we see God is sovereign and working all things according to His purposes, and God is richly and infinitely and aboundingly gracious toward us in Jesus Christ, then what can possibly be our attitude except thankfulness in all things toward our God? Now, what does that look like? I want to go through and break down some of the phrases that are here in this verse, and I should give credit where credit is due, because I got a lot of help here from John Gill, who was a British Baptist pastor back in the 1700s, and he wrote a book called The Body of Practical Divinity, and had a chapter in there on a theology of thanksgiving that really follows the outline of this verse. And so I encourage you, those of you who are John Gill fans or are not, you can go and look at that. But what we have here is an idea, first and foremost, that as we are filled with the Spirit, that we are to give thanks and able to give thanks always. Now, this doesn't mean, this word always, it doesn't mean that if the words thank you are not coming out of your mouth literally every moment of the day, that you're not obeying it. That's not possible, okay? What this means is that filling with the Spirit can give us this attitude of thankfulness at all times, and a consistent and ongoing pattern and practice of giving thanks to God for what He has given to us. Now, what kind of times does that mean for always? Because always is always, right? Well, it means, first of all, times of ease and times of difficulty. What do I mean by times of ease? I mean times of prosperity, times of health, times of happiness. Now, those times are times when maybe it feels easier to give thanks, but we can also say that sometimes those are the times when we forget to give thanks because things are going fine, and so often there's a tendency in human hearts to say, when things are going fine, I'll just forget about God. It's okay. You know, that's where we typically think, well, praying is about asking for things that are going wrong to go right. Well, things are going right. I can just drop that off. I can forget about it. We need to be sure, in the times when God has brought about an obvious ease of life, that we give lots and lots of thanks to God. And don't presume that this is because we are so great, that we have set our course, that we have provided for ourselves. We can see, no, actually, God is the one who has provided all of these things. God is the one who has made my life a little bit easier right now, and we can give thanks to Him. But then it also includes times of difficulty. So times of poverty, times of sickness, times of sadness and loss. Then those times, it sometimes feels harder to give thanks to God, because things are not necessarily going in the way that we had hoped, and it just doesn't feel that way. But we have that example in Scripture of places like the Psalms, where psalmists so often will come before God and say, all of these things are going wrong. God, it feels like You have abandoned me, but I'm determined that I will give thanks. And we can go to God, and we can, even in those times, remember and trust God is still sovereign, and God is still working for His glory, and God is still working for my good as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we can give thanks always. That always also includes times of spiritual victory and times of spiritual attack. Now, Christians know that that there are times in our lives where we have that sense of spiritual victory. We have a sense God has really accomplished something great in my heart and in my life, and we have a sense of, I'm just spiritually on the top of a mountain and on top of the world, and I just want so much to praise God in His glory for who He is and what He has done, and for the sin that He has rescued me out of, for the ways that He has brought together my relationships with people and all sorts of things. We have those spiritual high times. And when we have those times, we're called to give thanks and to say, God is the one who did this. But then we can also give thanks in times of spiritual attack, in times that we are warned about, that are more constant than we know, because this is coming up in chapter 6, because it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This spiritual attack, it can come from other people. It can come from those kind of outside places. It wasn't very long ago, just a couple of months ago, I was on a very, very regular basis receiving two or three or sometimes more emails a day from someone who was desperately trying to convert me to atheism. And that was spiritual attack. And the Lord, by His grace, has stopped those emails for a little while right now. But that's one possibility. It could be that you're receiving attacks on your faith from coworkers, from family members, increasingly, unfortunately, from government policies. And we can say in those times, God is good. God is working. God is over these things. I will give thanks in this time. And not just spiritual attacks from people and institutions, but spiritual attacks that come from the devil. Most of the spiritual attacks that we deal with are temptation to sin. Temptation to sin in our private lives, temptation that is around us all of the time. And when we are confronted with temptation, one of the tools that God has put in our spiritual warfare battle kit is thanksgiving. And we, like I said earlier, we saw that in chapter 5 already, that the alternative that's given here to immorality and impurity and covetousness is thanksgiving. That we can say, this sin in front of me, how is it that I am drawn to this? Where am I not giving thanks to God? How can I recognize what God has given me is enough? And I do not have to try to take something for myself that is not intended for me by God's law in taking of that immorality, that impurity, that covetousness, that whatever else temptation to sin it is. Instead of going for those things, we can give God thanks. And then listen to this in James 1. How is it that we can count those spiritual attacks as something where we can be thankful? It says this: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now that trials, it can mean hard times that we go through. It can mean spiritual attack from other people. It can even mean temptation. It says, count it joy, my brothers, when you meet those trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So that at the same time, we can pray, God, would you please remove this trial from me? And God, thank you for producing steadfastness in my life through this trial. We can be thankful. And then he says, give thanks for everything. Not just always, but for everything. What does that mean? Everything is a lot, isn't it? I think the easiest thing to think about is the blessings that are there that are plain to see. So this is why we have a song that says, count your blessings, where you can you can look into your life and you can say, here are the things that I can see that are blessings in my life. And we can count those up. And we can say, God, thank you for all of the blessings that are so obvious and plain to see here. And not just leave those as though we got them for ourselves, but thank God for them. But not just in the blessings that are plain to see, but also in things like our suffering and our weakness. Those are part of everything, isn't it? Our suffering. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, he connects it back to that Holy Spirit pouring into our hearts and knowing this love of God, so that as we know the love of God and as the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts, that we can rejoice in our sufferings. Not saying, I'm really, really glad to suffer. I want to suffer more. I don't think that's what it is, because if you look at the Psalms, that all these psalmists are in the midst of suffering, they're not saying, God, give me more suffering. They're saying, rescue me out of this, but this is at the same time saying, this is what God has ordained in my life. And I trust in my life that even as I am suffering, that I can believe Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. That's all things. For those who are called according to His purpose. That is not for all people. That verse is often misquoted as saying God always works for everyone's good or something along those lines. That is not the case. This is the case, though, for those of us who are in Christ, that we know that in our sufferings God is working for our good. And we can rejoice and say, God, thank you for the character that you will produce in me and for the hope that you will produce in me and for not putting me to shame because of that character and that hope that you will grow in me through the suffering, even as we pray, God, please remove the suffering. And listen to this from Romans 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. God's guarantee that He is working for our good in all things is not a guarantee that we will escape tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, or being slaughtered. What it is a guarantee of what it says in the next verse after that. It says, no, in all these things, not in spite of all these things, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hyper-conquerors, super-conquerors. That God causes even those horrible circumstances to abound in His grace toward us in the riches of Jesus Christ for all eternity. So that even in our sufferings, we say, God, thank you for the riches of Christ that you are pouring out on me that I will have in heaven. Now, how do you do that? How do you give thanks in those times of suffering and in those sufferings? A few things there. First of all, I think that you must believe that God is sovereign to do that. I went to a funeral one time where the preacher stood up. This was not a funeral I was preaching. I was not this preacher. Okay. The preacher stood up and he declared that because there is a verse that says that Jesus wept, that sometimes it is not God's will when someone dies. Sometimes it is God's will, and sometimes it is not. And he declared over the casket of this man, it was not God's will for this man to die at this age. Now, if that is the case, I don't know how you could possibly give thanks always and for everything if God is not sovereign over all things. But if it is the case, if God truly is sovereign, God truly is good, God truly is working all things for His glory, then that is the root of this. Let me read you a few verses about this from the Old Testament. Job chapter 42, verse 2. This is Job talking to God in his repentance for questioning God. He says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isaiah 46 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but the purpose of the Lord will stand. Proverbs 16 says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Psalm 135 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all depth, all deeps. Isaiah 45 says, this is a quote from God's mouth, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Proverbs 16 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Every roll of the dice in Atlantic City is from the Lord. All the inhabitants of the earth, Daniel 4, are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Proverbs 21, lest you think that this sovereignty of God does not apply to people and their hearts and desires. It says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. In Deuteronomy 32, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. That sovereign God is the God who in Jesus Christ is for us, so that no one can be against us, and so that in all these things we are more than conquerors and we can give thanks. That's just to say, we must believe in the sovereignty of God if we are going to give thanks in all circumstances. But second, even believing in the sovereignty of God, don't be discouraged that this is hard. It is normal for this to be hard. I keep mentioning the psalmists and their pleading to God and their suffering. They show that it's hard, and that's okay. But they also show that they are determined to give praise to God in those times, and they are determined to give thanks, and we can be determined for that too. We can be thankful for what God is doing in those things, even as we ask for deliverance from those things, and even as we remember all of God's works and all of the good that will come to us no matter what. We can give thanks and praise God. Not just in suffering, but in our own weakness. Suffering comes from outside. Our weakness, that's us. What about our weakness? 2 Corinthians 12 says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We can say to God, I am so weak. I want you to remove this weakness. I want you to strengthen me spiritually. But God, thank you that your power has demonstrated that I am so weak and you work anyway. And you are good anyway. What else can we be thankful for when it says thankful for everything? Thankful for people and for all people. 1 Timothy 2 tells us this. It tells us that we are to give thanks for all people. And the context there in particular, he goes on and he talks about government rulers who are doing the wrong things. And he says, give thanks for them and pray for them and pray for their salvation. So that we can look around and we can say, any human being who exists is somebody that is worth giving thanks for because they are created in the image of God, and we desire for them to be saved, just as God says in that passage, that that is his desire. And then we see also that we can give thanks especially for believers. This is all over the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:4 puts it this way, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Ever since we started putting these prayers from the New Testament on our prayer lists that we can pray for each other, it's really amazing how many of the prayers in the New Testament that are for our fellow believers are prayers that essentially say, God, thank you for my fellow believer, fill in the blank. Just thank you for them. And we can say that because, not just because they're people that God has put in our lives, but especially because God has brought them to saving faith and made them new and made them born again. And we are grateful for God's work in each other's lives. Well, who do we give? Well, I don't want to miss this. We can be thankful for every spiritual blessing. For every spiritual blessing. This was the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, where he said in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's, let's turn and give blessing to God. Things like thanksgiving to God. Why? Because he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If we are in Christ, we know that God causes all things to work for our good because of what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 about the work of God the Father in our salvation, that he has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And in love, he has predestined us for adoption as sons. And that in Jesus Christ, he has given us redemption by his blood. At the cross, that he guaranteed our eternal life. He bought us. And he bled and died on our behalf for us. And he made it so that we could be forgiven and so that we could be counted not just as forgiven, but as righteous in God's sight. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come. And when we believed, it says that when we believed, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. He has come and he has indwelt us. And he has sealed us for all of eternity future. So that we know that there is absolutely nothing in all of creation, heaven, earth, below the earth, that can separate us from the love of Christ. We have everything already settled and secure. And even in the times when you just cannot bring yourself to say thank you for anything else, you can go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and say, God, thank you for every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that you have richly poured out on me by the blood of Jesus, and not by my own works, but by your doing. And I'm giving it forever. Thank you. Who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God the Father, it says. Now, this is important to remember because I think often when we get to like Thanksgiving, November of every year, you hear various things around of what are you thankful for. But we really want to ask who are we thankful to, not just what are we thankful for, because it's possible that you could say, well, I'm thankful for my job. All right? Okay, that's good. You can be thankful for your job, but who are you thankful to for your job? It could be that you're thankful to your job for itself, or you're thankful to yourself for being so awesome that you got that job and that you are doing really great. And what we are called to give thanks to God the Father. There's an example of how this can go wrong if we're not careful about who we're giving thanks to that's in Habakkuk chapter 1. It gives the analogy of the nation of Babylon as almost like as they go through the nations destroying people, that it's like they're fishing and dragging people up out of the depths. And it says about Babylon, he brings all of them up with his hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. How silly would it be for a fisherman to catch a fish and then turn around and bow down to his fishing pole and say, thank you for giving me that fish. When we give thanks, we have to make sure we are not just in some sort of a general fog of thankfulness, but that we specifically are looking to the person of God, saying God the Father is the one that we give thanks to. Why do we give thanks to him? First of all, because he is worthy of being given thanks to. He is worthy of our being thankful for him. If there were nothing else in all the universe, we could be thankful for him himself. It says this in Psalm 106, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's why we give thanks to God the Father. We give thanks to him because he works all things for his glory. Romans 11, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. We give thanks to him because he works all things for the good of believers. All things, everywhere, stars that are billions of light years away, over there, he is working all things for our good. And giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gets back to what I said a minute ago, that Romans 8:28 verse, all things for good. This comes about in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how it is possible that we can come to God and say, I can be thankful for everything. It's because I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So when it says in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we are coming before God, not naked and not claiming just in ourselves to be great and to be worthy to come into his presence. We are coming to him clothed in Jesus Christ and saying, it is by the power of the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus that I can come to you and pray and give thanks to your name. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because that is the only way that we can come before God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And only in him, only in Jesus, are there eternal blessings that are secured for us. Back in 1:3, it says that these eternal blessings in the spiritual places, he has blessed us in Christ. In verse 11 of that same chapter, we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance. That's what it says. Not just in general, not just general blessings that are everywhere, but specifically in the person of Jesus Christ. So that we can come before God and say, in Jesus, I know that I have these things for all eternity, that I am covered by his blood, and I can give thanks. Now, perhaps you are here, and you cannot give thanks in the name of Jesus, because you are not in the name of Jesus. But this is, I hope maybe, as we have seen, all that we can be thankful for as Christians, that maybe that has given you a glimpse of the beauty of Jesus and of what it is that he offers and gives us so freely. See, the whole idea of thanksgiving, it cannot be based on something that we earn. If you earn something from God, then how are you going to tell him thank you for it? It's not thank you, it's give me what I earn. If you come before God and say, I am good enough, you had better give me a place in heaven, then you haven't understood the gospel yet, but here it is. It's in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's the only thing that we could work for and get from God is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is a free gift in Jesus that is offered so that we can receive that gift by faith alone and say, I didn't work for this. This is completely the work of God. This is completely what Jesus has done for me. And we can turn and we can give thanks to God, and we can be free, and we can have life and forgiveness, and we can honor his name in this. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you that you have poured out on us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you that you are sovereign over all things, and that in your sovereignty, that you have decided to save by your grace so freely, open up that offer of salvation so freely and openly. And Lord, I pray that as those who know Christ, that you would grow us in our thanksgiving. I pray that you would grow us in our worship of you as you fill us and grow us by the Spirit. And Father, for those who, God, in their lost state, they may not know anything except being dissatisfied and coming to you as an errand boy and coming to you and demanding what they feel that they deserve. God, I pray that you would give us a sense of our sinfulness, but of your grace in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would take those hearts, point them to the ultimate gift that was given as Jesus bled and died. And I pray that you would point them to the eternal life that came as Jesus rose.